I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with the Super Millennial to give us the millennial perspective. The Super Millennial and Bill Courtwright are back together again. How you doing, Big Dave?
I'm doing good.
How's everything going with you?
Good, good. It's good to have you back. I know it's been a long week.
It's been, it's been a while. You and Mark did a fantastic job, man. I enjoyed listening to you two collaborate on those episodes. You guys did great.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun week, and a week I got a lot of it, out myself. And I know you guys, with the messages and the way that the community's, responding to it, you guys loved it as well.
Good. So that I'm very happy, because this week our topic is the process. And today's Meeting of the Minds, we are going to have a discussion on the energy of overwhelm. And I'm really going to push you on this one, Mr. Super Millennial.
Great. Get back and already bullying me.
So you ready to roll?
Let's do it.
To be emotionally overwhelmed is a strong state of the red zone energies. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
So if you look over the red zone energies, guess what? You do not find overwhelm. It's not in any of them.
Yeah.
You can look through them and you can try. People ask all the time. And the reason is actually found in the definition of overwhelm. Overwhelm is defined as to bury or drown beneath a huge mass. Overwhelm is a state of being buried by the red zone energies. And so if we look at overwhelm, it's very different. It's feeling trapped and anxious in the 100 fear energy, but it's also feeling frustrated in the 125 desire energy. It's also feeling impatience in the 150 anger energy. And overwhelm is also feeling rejected in the 75 grief energy. And it is feeling drained in the 50 apathy energy. And overwhelm is feeling defeated in the 30 guilt energy. So overwhelm is being buried and drowning beneath a huge mass, or drowning under, through, over all the negative energies of the red zone. It's the only emotion that has all of the energies in there. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but as you mentioned it and I start to kind of look back, I love to look back at moments where I could think of, these certain things, and all of them, I could imagine different scenarios for each one of those.
And it's a challenge when we talk about overwhelm, because it's when you're in guilt, you're in guilt. You know when you're angry. You even know when you're frustrated in a desire, and you know when you're in fear. Overwhelm doesn't work like that. Overwhelm does not work like that. And I think this is an important episode, especially if you're a joy purpose or an inspire purpose or a love purpose. These are the purposes that get really, when they get in overwhelm, the ego just goes crazy. So I'm going to get into that as we go through the episode, because you were terrible with overwhelm. And now, just through the last couple weeks, I kind of like to know how you handle things, but not yet. We'll get into it as we talk about it, because you showed no overwhelm over the last few weeks. And that is counter to your pendulum swing of your purpose.
It's something that I've noticed myself as well, for sure.
So we're going to talk. So let's start with a look at the root cause of becoming overwhelmed. So overwhelm's fuse, what lights overwhelm, is the 100 fear energy. And its fuse is rooted in anxiety. Now remember, the fear energy is the comfort zone. The comfort zone is tethered to the want of security. The fear energy Its job is to protect the existing programs and identity held in the subconscious of the cage mind. So the human being is hardwired for behavior. This behavior is dictated by the programs in the cage mind. These programs are rooted in stasis, designed never to change. So what kind of sets it off is fear. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Do you have any comments on that?
No, I think that makes perfect sense when you put it in that perspective.
So let us kind of explain and take a look at the comfort zone and how it creates overwhelm. And let's talk about two different scenarios. Let's talk about the scenarios of failure and success. So the first scenario, let's talk on failure. So let us say you've tried to push your career forward in the past. You tried to expand your career, or let's say you're in sales. You want to increase your sales or create a side hustle to make more money, but have failed several times. Failure becomes a story of the ego. And the ego says, what's the point? I always screw things up. I can't get the breaks I need. I never follow through. And this story is embedded in the eye of identification. The failure story is part of your identity, the ego. And this drives behavior, which is protected by the comfort zone. So what happens? The moment you even think about seeking a goal to grow, you will hesitate, 100 fear. You will avoid it, 100 fear. This creates stories of wanting something, 125 desire. Resentment, you can't have it, brings you into 150 anger. Feelings of being cheated because you couldn't do it, 75 grief. Stories of why you can't do it, 50 apathy. And feelings of a failure, I'm a failure, 30 guilt. This creates overwhelm around even talking about expanding your career. And this overwhelm puts you in a strong negative state. Do you understand? You saw how it played through the red zone.
Yeah, right? The progression through it. Yep.
Yes. And this plays out in career. It plays out in a finance category. People get overwhelmed by money. Even a discussion about money can set them in overwhelm. The health category, overwhelmed with diet or food prep or logging all the time, that health category can throw you into a state of overwhelm. Relationships, overwhelmed with dealing with those that are closest to us, or the overwhelm of beginning a new relationship. And in a personal development category, it's overwhelmed with time, with change, the fear of being embarrassed, the fear of failing. You can see those things. So talk to me a little bit about overwhelm and the fear of failure and setting goals and change.
Well, for me, I think the big thing is that the overwhelm comes in two stages for me. And you hit something on the head. It was like, why can't I get the big shot or anything like that? I'm so overwhelmed with trying to get to that point where it's, I feel guilty I haven't gotten there, or I feel, you know, just apathy, like, why me? I'm just in a negative state. All of this because I haven't got the big shot. Then the overwhelm is a different stage when I actually get the big shot. It's like, holy crap, it's here. And I feel this exact emotion, just with no excuse now. It's in front of me. Everything I thought I'd needed, everything that I thought was going to fix the overwhelm has just shifted into, well, you're not ready for this. And all the emotions are still there, with a different circumstance.
And that's the overwhelm of success. So we talked about the overwhelm of failure and you went right into overwhelm of success. So let's say you've been working on a business plan and you put in months of research and testing and you're satisfied with the results and you're ready to take your project to the next level, to scale what you do. You present the project to several investors. And one decides to invest in you. Now, it's showtime. Sounds exciting, yes? Yet, you just said it. You're overcome by anxiety. What if it doesn't work? The fear of worry creates 100 fear anxiety energy. You begin to push your team. You become frustrated. 125 desire. This sets your behavior into 150 anger, where you become harsh. More anxiety. You become aggressive. As you push the project, you push the people, and eventually you push them too far, and you feel overwhelmed and drop into guilt. As things are not quite meeting your expectation because your expectation is set in fear, and you begin to sabotage the project, and this will result in failure. The overwhelm of success stems from expectations, what success will bring you. And you don't realize that once you get success, then it's time to go into action, and that action is going to be outside your comfort zone. It brings you anxiety, and you become overwhelmed, and this all will result in failure. It's exactly what you just said.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because, you know, I've had that opportunity in multiple states of my life so far. You know, I've had big opportunities where I was only if I had that break, and then the break comes and I completely flop it. You know, and then the overwhelm is, man, I'm never going to get that shot again. And it happens again, and I flop it again. And I'm like, why am I like this? And this time, you know, the stretch that we just did in the pool, it didn't happen. But the overwhelm did come in the beginning, but it was one of those things where if you catch it, you see it, and you nip it in the butt right there, it was smooth sailing after that.
And I've seen this many times. We work with a lot of authors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this overwhelm. They write a book that's successful and then get overwhelmed. Or they write a book, they're successful writing their book, right? That's the first hurdle. Then they get overwhelmed in the marketing of the book. Then they feel like they failed because the book didn't create their expectation. Their expectation might have been it's going to make them famous and success and generate all this income. And when that expectation isn't met, it creates more overwhelm. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to understand this, because once you're in overwhelm, and I'm going to get into it a little bit here, you become paralyzed. Overwhelm is a paralyzing energy, and it's not one energy. Overwhelm begins with a spark from fear. It's a doubt. It's a worry. And what happens is the ego then creates a story, and the spark turns into anxiety. Now you got the flame. Then the story expands as thoughts speed up. One thing about overwhelm, it's fast, and it starts to hit you, and this creates strong want, and this want expands, and you become angry, and the angry drives behavior into aggression. You push, you force, you grind, and now you become completely submerged by your thoughts and emotions. Fear activates even stronger, and you become paralyzed. You stop taking action, and this will lead you to become depressed, and life is now overwhelming you. That's the process. Mm-hmm. And it's the process for every single person who ever goes into overwhelm. It's how the ego uses it. In overwhelm, it is as if your brain has blown a fuse. You stare at your work. You sit there clicking a pen over and over again. You used to do that. You don't do it anymore. Clicking a pen over and over. You feel overloaded. So what do? When this happens, you turn to something, anything to distract you. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's scrolling the news. Maybe it's doing busy work. But this distraction then creates more overwhelm. And functioning in any type of productive structure isn't happening if you're stuck in overwhelm. Because what happens? You begin adding to your to-do list. You begin telling yourself, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. You start complaining that I don't have enough time. You start feeling sorry for yourself. None of this will get you out of overwhelm. None of it will. But the main characteristic of overwhelm is actually procrastination. It's the fear energy of being paralyzed. That's what happens. All those energies come together and create literally a shitstorm in your head. And all of that that's going on in your head is being felt in the body. And all of it comes down to making you complain about how much work you have to do, but you don't do the work. That's exactly what overwhelm does. So I'm going to talk about techniques that I use to break overwhelm. But David, before I do that, I would like you to kind of discuss. So let me kind of tell everybody out there kind of what we just went through. So everybody knows that we just did this big event out in Utah for YBL. Fantastic group, by the way. Anyways, we were not ready to do this. We're 6 months away from ready to do this. But when we decided to do it, we had less than 3 weeks. So that meant a lot of content had to be written. A lot of heavy. So I'm giving the event, and I'm doing the event. And this gentleman comes up to me and absolutely loves the presentation, everything I said. But he also loved the presentation and the slides I just presented. He goes, those slides are so good. They're so clean. Their messaging is so perfect. And what people don't realize is that was the first time I ever gave the talk, and those slides weren't done till about 1 day before we left for the event.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was so excited to talk about the slides. I made him talk to your mom so you didn't think it was me telling you how great your work was, because I don't know if you always believe me, but you're going to believe your mother, right?
So yeah, she's pretty honest.
Am I right? Right? She's not going to lie to you. So what did you do? Because not only did you have to get that done, so while I'm at the event trying to deliver this stuff, you're behind the scenes doing purpose exercises, doing wellness surveys, doing this and doing all that, running the team here too. So how does somebody who used to get overwhelmed with just me having ideas, because I want people to have a little background. I would have ideas and present them to you, and you would get shut down. Tell me 10 ways that they couldn't work. And I wasn't asking you if they could work. I was telling you what we were going to do. And so I got to the point several years ago, because it's been several years now, that I wouldn't even bring ideas to you. I would just start, if I did, it was one thing. And I slowed way down so I wouldn't overwhelm you. But this wasn't an opportunity. I couldn't slow down, or we weren't ready. Mm-hmm. So what changed? Tell me how you handled all this.
So the interesting part for me is that the 100 different ways of why it wouldn't work still pops up, but I just kind of use that now. I'll if you guys are in the community, I'll post a picture of the notebook that I had, that I sat here clicking a pen, writing down every every negative thing that I've ever gotten about any slide, any reason why the slides wouldn't work. I wrote all of them down. I wrote so much, but then I knew what I had to do in order not to make those mistakes anymore. So once I realized that I was overthinking, overwhelmed, and like just not doing anything, I kind of used it to my advantage. I wrote everything down. They were too colorful. They looked like they were high schoolers made them, all this stuff. And I stopped. Is this true? Can I let this? I went through the let go, and I had to let go multiple times, but being prepared and really getting back to being connected, because I could throw together easy slides. That's not a problem. That wanted to be my instant comfort zone, is throw these slides that I used to make up, and then fine. We're rushed. It's fine. They'll understand. But the moment that I stopped, I slowed down, purposefully slowed down and reconnected. I had a list of everything my ego told me was wrong with the slides before I made them, and I made sure not to do those things. And I just went and I worked we worked a lot. I mean, the hours that we put in, but it was connected because I felt prepared, and I felt like I got those thoughts out of my head already. Those were already there. As they came, I wrote them down and I put them off to the side, and I circled the ones that were actually good ideas, but they were meant to kind of hold me back and make me procrastinate. Like, man, so what am I supposed to do next? Or what am I supposed to do here? I had kind of like the cheat sheet in front of me. So it's like you said, some things pop up and it's going to happen. Just sometimes we're human and your ego is going to say, hey, I got control right now. But the moment I was able to notice it, take control again, and kind of set course with the plan, You can't derail me when I'm connected like that. It's just my ego has no say-so when I'm flowing. So I used all the things that, you know, my ego, Nelson, said, and I went based off of that. And the slides were literally a representation of all the things that were my ego saying, well, this is why your slides suck. Well, my slides looked nothing like what was on that paper, and they came out awesome. So you said this many, many times, how your ego is going to be a great tool and an asset to you. For the slides, it was that exact thing. And that comes along with the same thing. I want it to be an asset for the team, watching how hard you worked, knowing that, you know, if somebody else is going to put the weight on their back, I want to take some weight and put it on mine too, and work as an asset as a team together. So there was no question.
You did not know I was doing this episode.
No, not at all.
So I do want you to share those slides in the community because they need to see them. They're fantastic. So I have several techniques I use to break overwhelm. And so first is what David said. It always starts with awareness that I'm in overwhelm. It doesn't happen to me anymore. It really doesn't. You know, I could actually see Barry trying to overwhelm me when we landed back, right? We landed back and you saw how I went to work because my first day back from the event, where I'm back, you know, Barry's telling me, well, here's just a sample list of what he's talking about. Well, you got to write the podcast. You got to schedule 40 people. You got to finish a business plan. Better follow up with those from the event. You got to work out. Did you set your coaching? You got to finish that coaching lesson. Or did you organize the beta test? Did you do the community? Have you answered your emails? What about your texts? You got a lot of texts to answer. Did you connect with Brian? Because we got to set appointments. Did you meet with Patrick? Did you tell David? By the way, did you put away your clothes? Have you organized your desk? All this is hitting me. This is all coming at me. Now, Barry can speak all he wants. He can attempt to take my conscious mind control. He could try to create a story. He could try. But the only way he can do this is I fall into doing, like in Stage Street, instead of being. If I simply slow down, he cannot put me in overwhelm. It's impossible. So now many of my skills and habits already prevent overwhelm. For instance, setting and closing the day is a big one. So yesterday we land in Florida at 5 p.m. I get home at 6 p.m., but I do not end the day until I close the day and set the next day. And this actually took me a couple of hours when I got home. And believe me, I was tired. So everything from scheduling to lessons to creating a list to organizing my desk to putting away everything from my clothes to the files, setting my workout, and all the main points that I would focus on the next day. Yeah, this took me 2 hours, but I made sure by doing that, I would not get overwhelmed the next day. Mm-hmm. And this used to take discipline for me, but now it's automatic. I'm not going to. It doesn't matter what time I got home. And just imagine with that one, all that stuff he stored in my head, if I don't do that, what this day would have been like. You know, we're recording now at 5, and I know I'm not done after I'm done recording because the days are going to change because I have integrity of behavior. I have to follow through on a couple things, but I'm not overwhelmed by it. I know what I have to do. So all that prep can brings you out of overwhelm, but it cannot predict the unpredictable. So my day was fantastic today as we're recording this, but I was bombarded today with calls, texts, and emails. Yet I do have some simple grounding techniques that I use to keep the ego in check, and that's what I want to share. Before I share these, do you understand how important the basics of stress mastery and setting and closing the day are? I just don't know how to magnify that those two things will change your life, especially when it comes to overwhelm. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that was the overall key of why I was able to kind of keep centered the entire time is because I knew throughout the day I was going to get thrown curveballs and things that were going to try to knock me down and take some more energy than I wanted to, but I knew if I started my day right and I planned and prepared as much as I possibly can, like I said, everything, you have to be flexible with what comes in, but that helped me stay ahead of the game. And when things try to knock me back, I was ready further than, you know, I anticipated. So doing those things, closing and starting the day, literally, if I didn't do that, this week would not have survived
and,
me
and
at all.
So I'm not even going to say that I don't miss the workouts and I don't screw up my diet, because I don't have to say that anymore, because that's just not going to happen. Because what would that do? So if I say I'm too busy to work out, guess what? I'm an overwhelm.
Yeah.
So here's a couple techniques. Here's one. It's just called a grounding technique. It's called a 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique. And it's designed to maintain conscious control when you begin to become overwhelmed. Again, you must have awareness. So, 5, look around and name 5 things you can see right now. I don't care what they are. 5 things. Next, 4, listen and name 4 things that you can hear in a moment. 3, notice. Notice 3 things you could touch. It could be pages in a book. It could be your pen. It could feel in your feet on the carpet. And then 2, next, find 2 smells. It could be a candle. It could be the pages of a book. You want to smell the ink of the pen. And then 1, finally, name something you can taste. The best way to do this is a sip of water will make this work. The 5-4-3-2-1 technique does a couple things very well to get us out of overwhelm. It grounds your senses. You see, I'm using all the senses. And it allows you to slow down. And it puts you in the present moment. The moment that happens, you're out of overwhelm. That's one technique. A second one is, when you feel overwhelmed, you must slow down. You heard David say it. He had to slow down. A good way to do this is to stop trying to work. Set a 15-minute timer and clear all the clutter from your desk, from your laptop, your surroundings. What this does is it restores order in your little personal universe. And you now have, by doing that, let's say it's a 15-minute timer, you actually accomplish something. And this moves the momentum toward the next task. You can now go back and focus on the work. You're out of overwhelm. A third technique, and I use this one a lot, I ask myself a question. What is one thing I can do right now that will have the most impact on my day? So on my long list of things that was hitting my head, my one thing was my coaching. And then after that, I set the coaching, I re-asked the question, what is the one thing I can do that will have the most impact on my day? Then I do that. Impact is about your expansion, your growth. It's what makes you money. It's what creates your success. That's impact. It's expansion. It's about your expansion and integrity. And you must create the skill of priority, cutting everything that should be done and focus on the things that need to be done. It'll take you out of overwhelm. And 4, very important, stop trying to multitask. See, our brains cannot multitask. We must develop the skill, habit of focus. Now, many people set off the overwhelm alarm. Remember, it starts with worry, doubt, and then anxiety of fear by unintentional multitasking, like trying to work with the television on, or even eating at your desk while trying to answer emails, or answering a text while you're in the middle of doing something else. This creates overwhelm because it pulls you out of your focus and it opens the conscious mind up to the ego taking control. So we must just learn to discipline and do what is in front of us at any given moment. I accomplish this through using a timer. I use a timer, and if I have a lot of time to answer, let's say emails, I have prioritized those emails, and then I will go to work. But when the timer goes off, I'm done because there's another priority I must take care of that's more important than the emails. So this is what we call, and we've talked about it in past episodes, green focus management. Green focus management is about doing the five most important, impactful actions of the day. These are the ones that cause you expansion, success, and growth. Now, if you only get three done, then you move the next two as unfinished tasks, number one and two, the next day. And this simple little technique takes you out of overwhelm. Remember, overwhelm stems from losing conscious mind control to the ego. This will become a story of time. Overwhelm and time are married. There isn't enough time. Yet, the truth is we all have the same time, which is now. We all have, if we're going to look at time, 168 hours a week. When the ego sets our state in overwhelm, we become restricted. We're in restriction. When we're in restriction, we become stuck in our problems. And this creates paralysis. It paralyzes us and we freeze. Time is moving. We are not. That's what causes us to become overwhelmed. So, David, I mean, I couldn't have planned it any better. But some of the things that I think is so important is, one, you got to set and close each day. Two, you got to learn to prioritize. What's your big thing? Three, be aware. Break overwhelm. I used to even go for a walk to break overwhelm. Anything that breaks that up. If I'm stuck and I'm going into overwhelm, I stop. And I come back, but I time it. I don't just go and start watching shows and stuff. And that's four. I use a timer. Five, I think delegation's important because if you're stuck in trying to do everything to want to control, you're also going to get in overwhelm. But the thing that works best for me, David, and I'll ask what works best for you, is the one big thing. What is the one big thing right now that I need to do that is going to put me in an expansion? It's not about being busy, people. It's about your expansion and growth. Your thoughts, David?
Yeah, I think this week showed me a lot of tools that I've used, and I think the big, you know, is the preparing, being able to prepare, have a routine, you know, stick to it as much as you possibly can and always be flexible. But I think the big thing, and I think a lot of people need to understand this, because we talk about procrastination, but also at the same time we say slow down. Procrastination is not what you want. You're stopping and you're going the opposite way. Slowing down is moving in a direction, but reconnecting. I think that was the biggest thing that helped me this week, was because, you know, as many times as I wanted to be like, man, I got a brain fog, I just need to stop. Instead of just stopping, I slowed down. Like I said, I disconnected from what I was doing, but at the same time, I was kind of putting myself back together as I put myself apart into the slides, into the documents and stuff. So it was a time for me to regroup, but so I can move forward. It wasn't just me stopping and saying, you know what, I can't think, I'm done. It was slowing down, connecting, regrouping, refocusing, and then continuing. So understanding the difference between those two are very important. I think if you can do that and have a routine and be prepared, you'll be set. You can overcome it easy.
I think you did a great job. I want to congratulate you on it. I don't usually give too many compliments out.
Thank you. Careful. You know what? We don't give you a lot either, but the stretch that you did was awesome.
Anything else?
I think I'm good.
That's it for today's show. We are on a mission to do something. Our mission here is to what? Our mission is to...
Oh, do I get to close it today? Because Bill doesn't have his little sheet. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. And you can join us on that mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. After 1,118 episodes, Bill doesn't know this. But as always, until next time, stay inspired.